Hello, friends. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 5, the Apostle Paul used the words, "demolish strongholds," in defense of his ministry. As you likely know, Paul worked to serve God and confronted Satan's opposition in many ways. Brother David Johnson will use the words, "demolish strongholds," as his sermon topic today on this Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers help this ministry by reaching out with the gospel with their contributions and prayers. We now present singing in honor of our Lord. Holy Father, we rejoice in the resurrected Jesus. It is by this holy event that we have life in you. Thank you for loving us so very much. We pray that the news of the saving power of Jesus will be shared by this program and by all other efforts that serve you. There are people who are living faithfully to you, and they face Satan's opposition. Please be with them. Please also bless each of our listeners as they have need. And just as we know that Jesus was born on this earth, and after his death was resurrected, we know that your word teaches that he was going to call us home to be with him. Please help us to be ready. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon entitled, Demolish Strongholds.
What a privilege it is to share the Word of God with all of you listeners, and that we might witness these truths to others as we have opportunity. The title for the lesson is, Demolish Strongholds. And the main text is taken from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 4 and 5. Please listen to the Word of God. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This is the Word of God. And this is absolutely true, but only in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit for the born-again baptized believer to be able to demolish strongholds. A former zookeeper felt compelled to warn a young lady of the coming danger she was in for keeping a raccoon as a pet. He explained, "Raccoons go through a glandular change, usually at about 24 months. After that, they often attack people. Since a 30-pound raccoon can be equal to a 100-pound dog in a scrap, they are best to be avoided." She listened politely, but then stated, "It will be different for me. Bandit would never hurt me." 3 months later, Julie had to undergo plastic surgery for facial lacerations she sustained while playing with Bandit, who attacked her for no apparent reason. Even as Christians, sinful habits that we sometimes easily dismiss can grow and grow and bite us. We all, as human beings, have character defects. That is, moral and ethical faults that can become strongholds of Satan. Evil tendencies, before they become habitual, need to be demolished because our sinful nature is strong. Too easily, we dismiss our moral failures because we know we cannot be morally perfect in this life. We cannot, but this is not a proper excuse. As Christians, we should be striving, yes, often struggling, to overcome our sins, our faults. And God knows if we're really trying or just playing. Uncontrolled tempers, persistent pride, or secret sins are sometimes cherished rather than ceased. We all have ungodly cancers that can spread, which instead need to be put into remission. Wishing them away is fruitless. Often our feeble stabs at self-improvement by only self-initiative usually fail miserably. So we just give in and just give up. We learn to live with our faults and think we'll never change. Does that even sound biblical? Let's begin with Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? But how can anyone, including Christians, die, put to death, sin? Paul is here referring to something already accomplished by someone else. Jesus Christ has already paid the price once and for all on the cross for the sin of mankind, but only effectual to those who put saving faith in Him. So believers, because we are in Christ, and Christ died in our place, are counted dead to sin's penalty. Really? Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. This is the great truth of our justification as born-again baptized believers, which is available only in Christ Jesus, by God's grace and by Christ's redeeming work on the cross through believers' faith. This we should understand and accept by faith in the Word of God. Persevering believers are saved in Christ, but we still sin. It's the believer's ongoing daily struggle with sin that refers to the process of our sanctification that we need to address and have victory in. Jesus Christ, by His sinless atoning sacrifice on the cross, took care of the penalty of sin for the genuine persevering believer. However, even as Christians, we still have to battle the presence of sin in our daily lives. Our main stumbling block is that we too often attempt to deal with the presence of sin only in our own power. This is doomed to fail. Yet it's a real battle that we must continue to fight with God's help, yielded and cooperating with Him by the Holy Spirit. Consider Romans chapter 6 and verse 12 and following. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Sin must not control our bodies, such as our brains, our thinking that tempts us with lusts of all kinds, with lack of self-control, in our moral weaknesses of all kinds. No one is forced to sin. Before sin can have power over a believer, it must first pass through our will. We choose to sin or not to sin. We, with the indwelling Holy Spirit, can choose not to allow sin to reign, to have dominion in our lives. Here are 6 steps, according to Christian counselors, to not allow Satan, the world system, or our own flesh to have mastery, dominion, to reign over us. Number 1, identify our personal weaknesses. Take inventory. Number 2, recognize that which tempts us. Number 3, stay away from sources of temptation. Number 4, practice self-control. Number 5, invest our time and energy in godly habits and service. Number 6, most importantly in all of this lesson, lean upon God's power by yielding, surrendering ourselves to Him through prayer, through Bible study, through worship of Him, especially when we're actually being sorely tempted. We should all remember, deliverance from sin is not deliverance from human nature. We cannot in this life stop all sin, but we can sin less and less. We can change our patterns and habits to be more Christ-like. We can defeat the strongholds of Satan within us. The Apostle Paul assured Christians of this reality. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Whether it is against doctrinal error or moral sin, our weapons are prayer, faith, hope, agape love, God's Word, yielding to the Holy Spirit within us, all of which are powerful and effective. But we must engage the enemy, not give up. The main daily battle begins in our minds. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul's main thrust is to defeat all arguments, that is, thoughts, ideas, reasonings that come against God, against the gospel, and against godliness. The battle must not be lost in our thinking, in our attitude, where it begins. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Here, the Apostle Paul uses military terminology to describe this spiritual warfare against false philosophies and religions, against sin and Satan. God must be our commander, our general, as even our thoughts and attitudes must be submitted to His control. Spirit-indwelt and empowered believers can capture thoughts surrendered to Christ. Or we can allow ungodly thoughts to take us captive. We must capture our lusts, our fantasies, and evil desires when we honestly confess them to our Lord and ask Him, God, to redirect our thinking and attitudes. Physically, in large measure, we are what we eat and drink. Mentally, we are what we think. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7 in the New American Standard Bible says this, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." Spiritually, we are in large measure what we yield. Yield to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. As maturing Christians, we should never settle for a stunted spiritual life, but instead for a Christ-like daily walk with Him. In December of 2004, United States Secretary of Defense Ronald Rumsfeld came to deliver a pep talk to the troops in Kuwait in the Middle East. An Army specialist of the 278th Regimental Combat Team asked Rumsfeld this question: "Why do we soldiers have to dig through local landfills for pieces of scrap metal and compromised ballistic glass to come to armor up our vehicles?" End quote. This soldier clearly felt he was being sent into battle without proper protection. The application? As Christians, however, we do not have improper protection for spiritual battle. Our Supreme Commander generously equips us with, quote, "the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit." Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. But, dear listener, it is up to you and me to put them all on and to put them to use in God's power.
Oh,
I am sure that you want your life to stand firm against Satan. If you are not yet a Christian, our Lord invites you to come to Him in faith and obedience. In addition to believing according to the book of Acts, we need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by water baptism. If we can help you with this, please let us know. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, simply ask for Broadcast 2013. That's 2013. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them over.